Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Series, we've been talking about building awesome relationships, and today we're going to look at one of the most important relationships that you can ever have, and that's your relationship with God. That's your relationship with God. We're going to talk about how to become best friends with God. Did you know that God wants to be your friend? Yeah. I mean, this blows me away a little bit. I don't know about you, but when I think about friendship with God, I mean, there's a lot of titles given to God, isn't there? I mean, God is talked about in the Bible as our creator, right? Our creator. Our maker, so to speak. God in the Bible oftentimes is seen as a judge or as a master. We call him Lord in the Bible. He's your Lord, your Redeemer. And one of the close things we talk about is that God is our Father. You know, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. He taught them to say, "Our Father, which art in heaven," right? Our Father. But I think that one of the titles or one of the things that God makes available relationally to you and I that I find just fascinating is that the creator of the universe wants to be my friend. Do you find that amazing? The creator of the universe wants to be your friend. You say, not me, you're a pastor. Maybe he wants to be your friend. No, God wants to be your friend. He wants to be your friend. Jesus wants to be your friend. This is not about religion. This is about relationship. And how's that possible? I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, man, I just don't measure up. I don't measure up. How can God be my friend? I don't measure up. I mean, there are a lot of other people that certainly would seem a little bit more important to God on the God scale. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, he's got a lot of other things that he's got to be busy with, right? There's a lot of things that God has going on, a lot of other people that maybe he wants to pay attention to, maybe a lot more people that he's that are more important than me that he'd want to be his friend. But little old me, right? I don't know about that. But the truth is, God does desire a relationship with each and every one of us. It's more than religion. It's more than just coming. It's more than just being obedient, and we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning as well, but it's more than just what we can do for God. God wants us to know that he wants to be a friend to us. He wants to be intimate. He wants to experience that loving relationship. In fact, if we want to go back and really know where this started, we got to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And it was the ideal relationship before there was sin. When God had created Adam, when God had created Eve, there was fellowship. God was walking in the cool of the day. That was a rhythm. That was a normal thing where man would hang out with God. They would hang out with God. God had given man this wonderful garden, this beautiful paradise, this beautiful world in which to live. He'd given him purpose and meaning. Go ahead and tend that garden, be fruitful and multiply. I mean, he'd given him purpose. He'd given him relationship. But it was all because God wanted to enjoy relationship with mankind. He wanted to enjoy relationship with mankind. Before sin broke that friendship, before sin ruined that friendship, we were created to live continually in the presence of God. Doesn't that sound awesome? Man. But sin broke that friendship. Sin broke that relationship. Sin broke that fellowship, and the friendship with God was lost. In fact, when you go through the Bible, particularly when you go through the Old Testament, before Jesus came in the Old Testament, there was a very limited amount of people that were actually called friends of God. There was a limited amount of people. In fact, the first person that I think was a friend of God was a guy by the name of Enoch. And the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about Enoch. In fact, it's found in one of those times where we call genealogies, where he's kind of going through in one of the early genealogies, coming from Adam and Seth and going all the way down, was a guy by the name of Enoch. And he was a remarkable man. He lived 365 years. Can you imagine that? Genesis 5:23 says this: Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. Wow! Now that's fellowship. That word fellowship is friendship. And you know, what's amazing is, little is said except that he did not see death. He walked with God. But Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam. And since Adam lived over 900 years old, I went through and I started doing the math. And you know what I found out? And it was one of these remarkable things. I mean, I've been in church my whole life. And one of those remarkable things you started adding up. Enoch was alive when Adam was alive. Adam was still alive when his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson, Enoch, was born. And I can imagine he probably went to great-great-grandpa Adam's house, started talking with him. What was it like before sin broke fellowship with God? Or Adam was like, let me tell you what it's like to walk with God. Let me tell you what it's like to have the presence of God and be in the presence of God. And I'm just imagining, the Bible doesn't say this, but there's such a close fellowship. I imagine that Enoch wanted to live his life in such a way that he wanted to get that back. He wanted to get that back. He wanted to value that friendship with God and live in that presence of God so much that he began to say, that's the purpose of my life. I want to walk in close fellowship with God. And then one day, God said, wow, you know what, friend? Come on home. And that was it. He was gone. Can you imagine? Wow. How about Abraham? In fact, in the New Testament, the book of James 2:23 says this, the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. The friend of God. That kind of grabs my attention a little bit. Abraham was called the friend of God. And that friend is somewhat of an intimate. It conveys a closeness. It's not just an acquaintance. Another guy is Moses. Moses was a friend of God. Exodus 33:11 says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Man, Moses had such an intimate relationship with God. This is Moses who God appeared at the burning bush and said, hey, Mo. You know, I know you messed up about 40 years ago, you know, when you took matters into your own hands and you tried to deliver the children of Israel yourself by, you know, stepping in and you killed that Egyptian, you know, I remember that. Remember that? You know, you messed up really bad. I know that. And you kind of went out to the wilderness, because that's what Moses did. 40 years. We're going to talk about wilderness next week. That's kind of a lay-in. 40 years in the wilderness. He just said, you know what? That purpose is done. That part of my life is done. He became a shepherd. He's one. And then God spoke to him out of a burning bush. Man, that's a remarkable experience. And Moses is like, God, I know that, but I'm not going back there. Choose somebody else. I'm not your guy. It's not me. I'm not your guy. And somehow God continued to speak to him. And Moses actually decided to go and obey God. And things didn't go the way Moses planned. I mean, it was plague after plague after plague. Pharaoh's hardened heart and all that. And then he had to deal with them stubborn Israelites. Man, but that drew him into the very presence. Moses was in the very presence of God, speaking with him as a friend speaks. Moses was somebody who could talk to God as a friend. But part of the Old Testament, what we see is that it needed to be a sacrificial system because there was an unholy people and a holy God, and people had to consecrate themselves. And the high priest on the Day of Atonement every year was the only one who was allowed, when they created the tabernacle, to go into the very presence of God. To go into the very presence, the throne of God, once a year after he made sure that he himself had been consecrated. It was a fearful thing, but only the high priest could go in to the presence of God. Nobody else was allowed to get that close to God because of a holy God and because of the problem of sin. And that was the problem of the Old Testament. But then we get to the place where Jesus came. We're getting ready to celebrate Easter, hallelujah. And let me tell you something, Jesus changed everything. Where you have a limited amount of people in the Old Testament that were ever allowed to be called a friend of God or get in the very presence of God, Jesus changed it. Because when Jesus became that high priest, when Jesus went to the cross, when he was there and he said, it is finished, you know what happened? The temple, which became a greater version of the tabernacle. In the temple, there was the Holy of Holies. There was this curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the outer courts and from the court of the Gentiles and from the place where anybody else could gather. There was this big, thick curtain. But when Jesus died on the cross and said, it is finished. Come on, y'all. Some of you have been in church a while. You know what happened. The veil was what? Torn in two. It's why Jesus in the book of John can say, I am the door. I am the door to the sheep. And why Jesus can say in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, 6, the only way to get to God. Why? Because he became the bridge. His sacrifice, his atonement was all about making it available that every one of us, you and me, when we believe on him, we believe on his name, when we come to him as our high priest and we say, I need my sin forgiven. I need you, O God, to cleanse me. I am not holy. I cannot be in the presence of a holy God. I need your forgiveness. Jesus takes upon himself our sin. What separates us from a holy God takes it upon himself, atones for our sin through his blood and through his broken body. And he makes a way that you and I can come into the very presence of the King, restoring our relationship with God. Man, direct access to the King of kings, the creator of the universe. Why did God send his son, Jesus? Because he wanted to recapture a relationship with you and I. It was all about friendship. It was all about relationship. That's why he came. When Jesus came, you don't need a priest any longer. You don't need anybody else. You and I have direct access to God. Romans 5, 10 and 11. Oh, I love it. We were restored to friendship with God by the death of his son while we were still his enemies. While we were still his enemies. So we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by his life. Now, N-O-W, now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. All because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in making us friends of God. Ooh, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Friendship with God. You can't earn friendship with God. You can't buy friendship with God. You can't be good enough in order to have friendship with God. You can't bribe, you can't bargain, you can't berate God into friendship with God. You can't do anything except receive his gift, the gift that is promised through his son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way. The forgiveness of your sin, you receive that gift that was paid for by Jesus. And that forgiveness of your sin is the restoration of a relationship, and it is by grace through Jesus' sacrifice. In fact, Jesus said this in John 15, 15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Do you realize how radical that is? That the God of the universe says, I want you to be my friend. I want you to be my friend. Man, that's radical. The God who created the galaxies is saying, I want you for a friend. Man, there are some of you can't believe it. You're like, what? I can't believe that. You know, Jesus says this. He says, I don't call you servants. The word he uses for friends is not a casual relationship. It's not a casual acquaintance. It means deep, personal, intimate, companion. In fact, it's the same word that we use for best man at a wedding. Best man at a wedding. Man, it's the guy you can depend on. The guy you can depend on most. And that's the same word also that's used for a king's inner circle. The king has lots of acquaintances, thousands, maybe millions of subjects, but very few close friends, intimate, trusted friends. And so if you walk into the royal court, you're going to see a king or queen. If we walk into the royal court, we're going to see a king or queen. And I don't know about you, but you know, if we were to do this today, if the Queen of England were to come and we were to get a chance to get, you know, be able to go to that banquet, well, let me tell you something, the Queen of England is going to have some people that are going to be around. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be running interference. She's going to have like her own secret service. You know what I'm saying? And you're not going to be able to get that close to the queen. You know, maybe a passing, hey, from a distance, hey, hey. You know what I'm saying? But you're not going to be able to get in. You're not going to be able to have an intimate conversation with the queen. You're not going to be able to get into the presence. Only the queen's inner circle has that kind of access to the queen. And friends, let me tell you something. When it comes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, through Jesus Christ, you and I get to be in the inner circle. You and I get direct access. You and I get intimate access with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because he calls us friend. Let me show you a couple of verses. Exodus 34:14. You must worship no other gods, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you. God is jealous for his relationship with you. Did you know that God gets jealous? I know there are some people that say that turns them off. Oh, how can God be jealous? Because we look at jealousy in such a negative way, and you don't see it in the purity in which God means it here. I got to be honest with you. I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I'm jealous for my relationship with my wife. I don't want my wife to have an intimate relationship with anybody else that is more intimate than her relationship with me. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm jealous about that. Why? Because I want there to be a purity in our relationship. I want there to be a love in our relationship, not a negative thing. I'm jealous for my kids. I have a little daughter. She just turned 11 yesterday. Let me tell you something. There are going to be some boys that have some ill intentions. All right? As a daddy, I'm jealous for my daughter. All right? I'm going to be watching out for my daughter. Why? Because I don't want my daughter going down any road that is other than the road that God intends and plans for her life. Anything that's going to take her off course. Why? Because his best is her best. And I am jealous for God's best for my daughter. That's not a negative thing. That's a positive thing. You can't love somebody and not be jealous like that for them. If you just want to let them go off and do whatever they want and think that's love, that's not love. You see them hurting themselves and harming themselves and you don't get a little jealous about that? There is something wrong with you. It's impure about your love. God's love means that he is jealous, and he is jealous for his relationship with you and I, and he doesn't want to see an enemy who comes to steal, who comes to kill, who comes to destroy, take advantage of your life and take you off course from the best that he has planned. He is jealous for you. That's not a negative. That's because God loves you. He is passionate about his relationship with you. He doesn't want to see the God of money, the God of sex, the God of success, the God of popularity, the God of pleasure, or any other God break fellowship with him. Because it's a useless substitute that will leave you unsatisfied and that will leave you broken. God doesn't want to see that happen in your life. He's come to restore that. Hosea 6:6, the Living Bible says, I don't want your sacrifices, I want your love. I don't want your offerings, I want you to know me. I want you to know me. There is a value in knowing God. Can you feel the passion in that verse? Man, don't miss the number one purpose that is there for your life. The number one purpose that God has for your life is that you would know him and love him. That you would know him and love him. If you miss that purpose, if you miss that relationship aspect to know God and love God and you substitute some other form of religion for that, you are missing the greatest purpose that God has for your life is to know him and to love him. In fact, Acts 17, 26 and 27, oh, I love this. The Message puts it so beautifully. Starting from scratch, God made the entire human race, made the earth hospitable, with plenty of time and space for living so that we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him. Man, God wants to be found by you. God wants to be found by you. We're imperfect. We're flawed. He's perfect. We're finite. We're finite, but he's not. He's eternal. How can we who are visible have a relationship with an invisible God? How can we who are weak have a relationship with an omnipotent God, an all-powerful God? How does that work? There's only one way, friends, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's through Jesus Christ. So I want to just give you some practical steps. And then we're gonna end with communion together because it's all about fellowship and friendship with God. We're going to end with communion together. But let me just give you a couple of practical tips this morning. So practical tips. Number one. Make knowing God your number one priority. Make knowing God your number one priority. There's a lot of priorities, and you know, we started off the year by talking about priorities, talking about the important over the urgent, and talking about those kind of things. Friends, you've got to prioritize your relationship with God. Relationships don't just happen. I know, in the movies they do. You know, I know, sometimes it just kind of... But for a relationship to last, for a relationship to really be going... You can't neglect it. You have to be purposeful in it. Relationships are intentional. And they take purpose. They take value. You're never going to become a friend of God in your spare time. You've got to make knowing Him your first priority. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. All the other pursuits, all the other things you seek, you're not going to really get to those things or understand what kind of value they have and meaning they have unless they're put in the right place in your life. And the only way they can be put in the right place in your life is if God is first in your life. Unless seeking God is your number one priority, everything else in your life will be disordered. You'll have disordered loves, disordered passions, disordered pursuits, and they will lead you to disordered consequences. And you go, I don't understand. It's because the priority isn't in the right place. When you prioritize your relationship with God first, every other priority in your life will begin to come in order. It will get aligned with God, but it can't unless God is given first priority. Paul said it like this, Philippians 3:8, everything else is worthless compared to knowing with the priceless gain, compared with the priceless gain, excuse me, of knowing Christ Jesus. He said, I discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. Some translations say rubbish, so that I may know Christ. Man, there were a lot of pursuits. There were a lot of things. He was a religious guy. He was zealous for his religious, for his Jewish faith. He was zealous for that. He thought he was doing a good thing, a religious thing. He was zealous. He had learned. He had racked up quite a resume. And he said, you know what? Everything I've done, even in coming to Christ, everything, I consider it rubbish unless I know Christ. Unless I know Christ. Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Friends, are you doing that? Are you seeking God? Are you seeking Him every day? Do you want a friendship with God? The truth is, you and I are as close to God as we choose to be. I can't blame somebody else for my relationship with God. If I'm not close to God, I can't blame my wife for that. I can't blame my kids for that. I can't blame my job for that. I can't blame my parents for that. I can't blame my brothers, my sisters, my friends. I can't blame anybody else. You and I, we make decisions. We prioritize in our lives. You can't blame anybody else. If you want a friendship with God, you've got to make that your number one priority. And to do that, you need number two. To do that, you got to slow down and be quiet. Can I be a little brash? Slow down and shut up. Now, God cares about your need. All right, He cares about your need. He does. He wants you to bring your need. He wants you to share your need. A good friend would want that. But you know what? Sometimes we do way too much talking and not enough listening. Sometimes we get angry at God because God hasn't met our need. Well, the problem is we haven't slowed down or been quiet enough for God to be able to speak to us about how He wants to answer that. Why? Because God sees a bigger picture. He knows what He's doing. And He's not going to give you something that's going to be harmful to you. He's not going to do that. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Friends, you need a daily quiet time with God. You've got to carve out somewhere in your day at some time. Part of that prioritizing is learning how to carve out some time where you can get alone with God. Psalm 25:14, friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence Him. With them alone, He shares the secrets of His promise. Secrets of His promises. Do you want to know the secrets? You can hear from the King. You can hear from the King. You want to know those secrets? You've got to reverence Him. You've got to take time out, slow down, and get in His presence. And you don't have to, when you think about prayer, you go, I just don't know how to pray. You don't have to pray King James, all right? We don't know, Thee, Thou, blessed, O Thou, Heavenly Father, Thou, hey. You know what I'm saying? How do you talk to your friend? Just talk. Just be honest. Be real. Friendship, we talked about, is all about transparency. It's all about honesty. Open up and be honest. Just talk. God, I need you. Lord, I need to hear from you. God, here's what's going on in my life. Here's what's going on in my family, and I'm really concerned. I can talk to a friend. I'm concerned about my son. I'm concerned about my daughter. They seem to be going down the wrong path. There seems to be people in the... God, I'm concerned. Give me wisdom. I don't know how to deal with this. What would you do? Holy Spirit, point me something in your word that will show me. Show me in God's word something that will help me. I need peace in my life. man, there are things going on in my job. There's somebody there's this difficult person that sits in the cubicle next to me. God, you know their name. You know them. You know what they do to me every week. You know, I just don't even want to go to work every day because they're going to be there. This is prayer. God. You're probably on your cell phone texting that to somebody else. Send a text message to God. Pray. Pray about it. Man, Matthew 6, 5 and 6 in the Message is, when you come before God, don't turn it into a theatrical production. Just find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play with God. Role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God and you'll begin to sense His grace. And that's really the key of prayer. The key of prayer is we go in where we're the center, our needs are the center. But when you take time to really be in God's presence and pray, you will find that it shifts from you and shifts back up to God. That it shifts away from you and you begin to shrink and your weakness begins to shrink and your problems begin to shrink as you begin to make God big, as you begin to see God's power, as you begin to be reminded of God's promises, as you're reminded of how God is able to meet your every need. Your problems shrink because your God gets bigger. And that happens when we slow down and we get quiet before God. Thirdly, decide whose friendship you want most. This kind of goes along with the first one a little bit in terms of priority. But, you know, we have friends. Everybody has friends. Everybody wants friends. Everybody prioritizes certain relationships. But friends, you got to decide who you want to be your best friend. 1 Timothy 6:21, some people have missed the most important thing. They don't know God. There's a lot of important relationships. But I'm going to tell you, friends, your relationship with God is really important. There are some people that say, I can't memorize Scripture. I can't do that, but they can memorize baseball scores, they can memorize stock market quotes, they can memorize top 10 songs and be singing them in their sleep. They know all kinds of recipes, they know the birth date, and they know what's going on in every relationship mix-up that's going on in Hollywood with every celebrity because they follow TMZ and everything else. They know what movies are out and all the latest movies and the top 10 of this and the top 10 of that and who said this. And you can go around and they quote all these movie quotes all the time. Some of you are really good at quoting movie quotes. I'm not very good at that. But some of you, man, TV quotes, movie quotes. I mean, you know it. You say, we're good at all these kind of things, man. But, man, I can't memorize Scripture. I can't get God's Word in. Maybe because it's not a priority like baseball or basketball. You know? The trade deadlines and everything else that's coming up. Man, the Bible gets specific. James 4:4 says, you should know the loving world. Loving the world is the same as hating God. Anyone who wants to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Friends, there's a lot of things in this world that you can love, but the Bible says not to love the world, but to love God. Anybody who loves the world becomes an enemy of God. Well, you say, but wait a minute, doesn't God love the world? For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only begotten Son, whosoever, you know, believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. It's all over those sports things. I see that. That one I know. Right? Hey, I'm just being real. Yeah, you know what? God loves the world, but here's the deal. When James is talking about world, he's not talking about people in the world. He's talking about a world's value system. And sometimes we get so caught up in loving the world's value system and hating its people, we have it mixed up. God says, don't love the world's value system. Love people. I love people. God so loved people. He doesn't love the world's value system. The world's value system is going to lead you in all kinds of different places because it shifts just like the wind. It shifts upon everybody feeling this way and feeling that way. And this is hate over here and this is love over here. And then all of a sudden it flip-flops and that doesn't make sense because this is this and I value this. And you know, save the whales and everything else but kill the unborn babies and everything else. You know what I'm saying? I know, I'm gonna really offend some people here. That's okay. That's okay. Because that's the kind of mixed up garbage that we have. That's a lack of wisdom. It's called foolishness because there's a lack of the fear of the Lord in the world's value system. All right? And it doesn't matter what political party because both of them are mixed up and messed up. Fear the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. Oh, I'm getting on a roll now. Man, we have got to understand what it is to love what God loves. When you have a friend, you value what your friend values. John 15:14, you are my friends if you obey me. Let me clarify this for a moment. Yeah, we're friends with God, but we're not equal to God. Being a friend of God does not make you equal to God. If there's a king and that king in a country, go back to the king illustration. They've got friends. They have people that are in their inner circle. Let me tell you something. Those friends can be trusted. They might run certain things by, certain confidences by. But let me tell you something. The moment that subject who is there, the moment that friend starts to take the place of that king, let me tell you what's going to happen. He's going to be out, off with his head. He's going to be out, all right? I'm just going to tell you that. You're not equal with God. Just like if you were with a king and a king's friend, you wouldn't be equal with the king. But as a friend, you're loyal. And as a loyal friend, you value the same things the king values. You out there working for the same things the king values. And that's what this means by obey what I command. When you know the king, when you love the king, you begin to say, the king's values are my values. What the king values are my values. That's why we obey God. Some people have this all mixed up. They think that Christianity and obeying and, oh, God doesn't want you to have fun. He's taking away all these things. Look at this. Take. That's a lie of the enemy. God isn't taking away anything. God is giving me life and joy and peace that don't have the kind of consequences that get in the way and that take life from me, that lead to things that break relationships, that lead to things that mess up my life and get me bound in debt and get me bound in addiction and get me bound in all kinds of other things. God wants me to spare me from all of that kind of stuff. And because He loves me so much, I love what my God loves. That's what a relationship with God is all about. We don't obey a God out of fear. We don't obey God out of guilt or out of obligation. We obey God because He loved us first when we were unlovable, because He saved us when we were bound in sin. Past is forgiven, and our purpose, we have a new purpose in life and a heavenly home and eternity to look forward to. That's why we follow Jesus. John 15:9-11, I have loved you even as the Father have loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commands, you remain in my love just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in His love. I told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. It's all about love. It's all about love. The fourth way to build a friendship with God, maintain constant conversation. Constant conversation. Man, you got to converse. It's not just on Sunday mornings. You got to talk with God. That's prayer. That's part of that quiet time. You got to talk with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray all the time or pray without ceasing. Man, would your life be better if you prayed as much as you texted? Would your life be better if you prayed as much as you were on social media? Whoops. Did I go there? Yes, I did. Man, you got to have an ongoing conversation with God. Philippians 3:10, Paul said this, my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly. That's the way the Amplified Version puts that. Man, you only do that when you talk with God. Spend some time in prayer. Number five, trust God in your pain. This is huge. This is huge. This is huge. Every friendship is built on trust, friends. And you know, when I started this series about awesome relationships, I talked the difference between an acquaintance and a friend really is trust. It's trust. You talk to acquaintances, but you trust your friends. And if you don't trust somebody, they're not your friend. You may spend 8 hours a day or so working with them, but if you don't trust them, they're not your friend. They're just an acquaintance. See, the bedrock of friendship is trust, and that's true with God too. You got to trust Him. You've got to trust that when things don't make sense, when things are backwards, when things go sideways, when you feel like you're under attack or God's not working, you got to trust that God is working together for your good, the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. You got to understand that God is working on your behalf. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Man, cast all your cares. Cast all your cares. It means dump them. Lay them on God. You know, one of the great things I love when I read the Psalms is how honest David was in his pain. David was honest in his pain. He brought his pain to God and he said, listen, I got a friendship with God. God, I don't understand this. I'm bringing you my pain. I'm going to be real honest with you. I'm going to bring it and I'm going to dump it right here, and this is where it is. And then usually in that prayer, part of the way through is David would be dumping his pain. By the time he got to the end, he was praising again. He was praising again. Friends, you and I have to learn how to trust God. And the only way to do that is to be honest with God about where we're at in our pain, crying out to God. Why? Because pain is a fuel for the passion. It'll energize you. Man, when things are going well, we don't cry out to God with energy. A lot of times we don't. When things are just going well. But let me tell you something. Something goes wrong in your life and all of a sudden you're up here at the altar. Oh, God, I need you. Right? Things are going well. We're back in our pew. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Right? Maybe like this. Maybe a little like this. You know? But man, when you're desperate, when you need God to work in your pain and you're desperate, man, you are God! Right? That's what we do. So learn, man. Learn how to get honest with God. Learn how to get honest with God. Learn how to trust God. Now I want to transition and bring this to a conclusion. I want to. Our ushers are going to come and they're going to lead us in a time of communion. They're going to pass those things out. Our worship team's going to come in just a minute. But I want to wrap this up specifically by speaking to two groups. Two groups. The first group is this: if you're facing trouble. And there are some of you that are facing trouble. I just talked about pain. There are some of you who say, that's not funny. You were just kind of mocking. I wasn't really mocking that. I'm not meaning to. But seriously, you're facing trouble in your life. And if you're facing trouble right now, maybe it's physical, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's relational, maybe it's financial, whatever it is, God offers to help you out. God says, I want to help you with that. I want to carry that burden. I want to come alongside. I want to give you support. Psalm 91:14, the message says this: I'll get you out of your trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you'll only get to know and trust me. If you'll only get to know and trust me. Friends, one of the best friends you can have is God. And in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your trouble, God says, I can be there. I can be your friend. Friends, I want you to take a leap of faith. Consider taking a leap of faith and building a friendship with God if you're facing trouble. Second group, maybe you're not as close to God as you once were. I would bet in a room this large that there are some of you that if you really thought about where your relationship with God was when you first came to Christ and when you were being discipled and where it is now, I would guarantee that there are some of you have been, you're distant from God. You're distant. You don't have the kind of friendship. Maybe you've even been coming because that's the thing to do, but relationally you say, I'm distant. I'm distant from God. There are some of you that have walked away from God. There are some of you, literally, you know where you are. You have walked away from God. You once knew God, but you walked away. And for whatever reason, God brought you here this morning to hear this message that God loves you. You know, Job kind of had a struggle like that. Job 29:2-4, the Living Bible says, oh, for years gone by when God took care of me. Oh, for the years gone by when God took care of me, when He lighted the way before me and I walked safely through the darkness. Yes, in my early years when the friendship of God was felt in my home. And maybe at some point you had a home, your faith at home was good. But you say, you know what, today I'm not as close to God as I was once was. Do you want that back? You can begin today. You can get that back. You can get that back. Here's what Jeremiah says to you. Jeremiah 15:19, if you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak words that are worthy, you will be my spokesman. You are to influence them. Do not let them influence you. Some of you have friends that have been influencing the wrong way. You start reprioritizing those friendships, those relationships. You prioritize your relationship with God. And friends, I'm going to tell you, it's going to reorganize everything else. God says, if you return to me, I will restore you and you can serve me. Friends, God's not finished with you yet.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.